I went to a, I guess it was a website last night, and here we go. It's going to be, it's a mid-actor one. And they had a book I was to look at, so I looked at this book and I scanned down this book, and you know, anybody can take anybody's writings and pick them up and find something that just isn't quite right, you know, other than my writings. Yeah, right. And reading through this plan of the ages, as it's called, and I know where they're getting this stuff from. I never can remember the guy's name, the Ruckman for the mid-actor crowd. I can't think of his name. I just never can. Rockwell? No, it's not Rockwell. I don't know what his name is. And this guy's even taken... No, not those guys. Stammer, Baker, no, it's the guy. He's still alive. He's doing a pretty good job, you know, with a lot of his stuff. Everybody likes him, and he's got a pretty big following. He used to be a Ruckman. He went to Ruckman's College. Cannot think of this guy's name. I never can remember his name. I just can't remember it. No. No, keep guessing. It begins with R, I think. I can't. Probably doesn't begin with R. Who knows? He's their biggie. He's the one that everybody gets their stuff from, put it that way. And just reading through this thing, and I realized that, you know, he says it really well. He does. He explains. So I'm not out to get the mid-actors, okay? And the mid-acts crowd. And this is what they are. They are totally mid-acts. And I'll explain to you today why they are and what they're missing and why it's so serious. And I realize, and I think the people that have gone with us on the website finally gone to Pal Talk, you know, and then they kind of clip down Pal Talk. Well, Helpers of Your Joy or Bible Rightly Dividing or whatever, they got different names up there. People jump over to them. We lose them to these guys. We lost one of our good supporters, even a financial supporter, a couple years ago over that stuff. And why is that? Why is it serious? Am I just jealous? Do I wish I had a following like these guys? No, and I'll tell you why as we get into this thing. So stay with me this morning. And if any of the mid-actors hear this, just remember, this is all being truth spoken with love. And I'll point something out. If you stay for this whole sermon, whoever listens to this later, if they stay for this whole sermon, they'll see what I'm talking about. But they will also know why they are where they are at. Okay, so as I'm going down this plan of Israel and plan of the Gentiles and plan of Paul and the apostles, all that stuff, you know, it's really well written. It's well done. And so here's a couple statements I saw that I go, well, no, I would disagree with that, but it isn't going to change the whole outlook of this whole thing, the whole direction of following Paul, like it says there. One of the things they say is God interrupted his plan, you know, to bring in the Paul thing. No, Paul, God didn't interrupt anything. This was his plan. Ephesians 3, how does that go about hidden through the ages? Hidden means that it existed. God knew what he was going to do. God knew this was going to happen. So that God didn't interrupt his plan. I mean, God is God. Man didn't set God off and, well, I guess I messed up. I have to go to plan B. No, God didn't go to plan B. It says right here, I saw it's in Ephesians. I'm in Colossians. Let's go to Ephesians here. See, and this is the stuff that gives, it just takes away from God being God, you know? So it's Ephesians, that was good. Ephesians 3, and it says here, where's it at here? Oh, let's see, where you read, you may understand my knowledge, in the which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is. But see, it wasn't an interruption. This is exactly the way God knew it was going to be. Okay, so there's that one. That's a tremendous statement to say that man changed God's plan to plan B. I don't buy that at all. I think that's a horrible thing to say. Okay, whatever. Then we notice that they talk about the rapture quite a bit, you know, and all they go to Revelation and everything, but they're missing the key verse. And my point is they miss a lot of key verses in there. Now, he explains the Israel, Gentile, Paul, apostles, great committee. He explains that very well, you know, as far as the general explanation. But he leaves out some really key verses. And I suppose he's just writing a general book about it, and that's fine. You know, a lot of sermons I do, I try to get in all the verses. That's why they got so long. I just couldn't leave out a verse, you know. But now if you'd go through some of my things, well, first of all, I don't do notes hardly anymore, but we all know these verses anyway. We go to Romans 11, they leave out the greatest verse about the rapture you'll find anywhere. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, that's the Jews, but toward thee, talking to the Gentile nation, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. That's when God cuts off the Gentiles. When? When they're done with Paul's teachings about the risen Savior. That's it. Now, let's pop that in. Let's tell people, because it'll introduce them to the Paul thing. When's God going to come back in the rapture? Everybody else. Well, when he's tired of how bad things are. I think he's been tired of how bad things are from the moment of the garden. You know, I mean, even his own people, you know, slapped him in the face all the time. Then they say in this little book, he says, Israel will again be God's people at the tribulation. Israel is God's people. Always are, always was, always will be. Romans 11 again tells us that. They're enemies, they are enemies for our sakes according concerning the gospel, but they are still beloved for the Father's sake. They are still his people. God has not forsaken his people. He still is with them. He's still there. He knows what they're doing, and they'll pay. You bet they're going to pay. Okay. Those are just a couple of comments I saw that I think are serious. Okay. Then, what's missing? Okay, what's missing in all their stuff? I have yet to find it in any of their stuff. I've listened to the Mid-Ax sites and the helpers and the rightly dividing guys and the different things, you know. I've listened to them. And they do not talk about certain things that they don't dare talk about. And that is the manner of life that Paul preaches. They just don't do it. If you look at the picture on the website, you see the ladies are about as immodest as anybody else out in this world. You'll see that they are about just as happy as everybody else out in this world. The only difference is they can prove with a Bible about God's grace. And these modern Christians, they know about God's grace, but they're mixed up with it. They think it's just because God is ignoring everything now. Well, the Paul guys can go back and they can find out about the law. You know, all things are lawful, and they can find out what Christ did and how Christ did it, and spiritual circumcision, etc., etc. So they can prove their happiness, and they can prove the grace that they live under. Well, they're no different than a modern Christian, except they got Bible behind it. Modern Christian has their pastors and their preachers and their teachers and their books and their articles and their videos and their worthless little Bible studies of love and everything. So they're all just looking for one thing. They're looking to be happy. That's what they are. Here are some things that they just leave out. And this is why I think this is so serious. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:17. Now, you're going to hear something that's nothing new. I'm just trying to put this into perspective because I guess I want to be able to have this particular sermon available so when somebody comes up and they say, well, what about, you know, here's these people and da-da-da-da or whatever, I can say, listen, you know, you do what you want. I understand why you'd rather go with the mid-actors because they're happy and they're smiling and they've got church. See, and this religion today is geared to make people happy. It's flesh-oriented religion. Nobody preaches anymore. Nobody hardly talks about the Bible. And when they do, the Presbys or the Methodists or whatever got Bible in their past, they do, you know, any other Bible, doesn't bother them any. You bring whatever Bible you want. Why? Well, because we love you, you know. The magnificence of religion. We miss it. We miss the church thing. Why? Well, we miss the singing. And I know you do too. I miss playing the piano with people singing. I know it was a good time. I being a music teacher and all, I miss having the flute and the violin or whatever, or the piano and the organ. That was always fun to play together. People singing, and we're just trumpets sometimes could get in there. I miss that stuff. But the music has gone so sour, so flesh, that I couldn't go to it if I wanted to. We miss the fellowship, the magnificence of the fellowship. Sort of. If it was us folks, and we were getting together for church, chances are we'd probably get mad at each other for what somebody's wearing or not wearing, or how they talk, or the color of their tie, or what they do in the evenings, or the fact that you're working and you have to work. Hey, you have to work. Yes, God's grace allows you women to work without God snuffing on you. And us men, we haven't been a solid Christian man, because if we do, da-da-da-da, God doesn't get us. We don't have the severity of God. And as a result, we're spoiled. So, understand that. But we still miss the fellowship. They can't be going for the singing, because I'm sure the singing is pretty stinky nowadays. Even if you go to a King James place, their singing is Southern Hillbilly, and Southern Hillbilly is as flashy as can be when they're still doing the same old hymns. Thank you to the Sheriff family and all the other families that travel over this country with their banjos and guitars and zithers and dulcimers. It's all rhythm-oriented stuff. Nice. They do a good job. But it appeals to people's flesh, and so they like it. We miss the magnificence of a live sermon. I mean, there he is up there. There you are down there. I miss the page turning. I miss those that are falling asleep. And as I say something to wake them up, every now and then, remember, I would drop a hymn book or something and just kind of wake them up, whatever. I miss repeating something I said because I know somebody sneezed or a kid cried, so I had a chance to repeat it again. I wanted them to get it. So I don't know when you get up and go to the fridge. I don't know when somebody calls you on the phone. I don't even know if you're still there. Sometimes we get done with the sermon. I go back and check on Pal Talk, and some of you folks are still there. Now, either you're listening to a mid-act sermon somewhere, or you're messing around on the Pal Talk thing, or you just turned your Pal Talk on and you left it and never came back. I mean, those are things I think of, I'll honestly tell you, I'll go through the Pal Talk thing sometimes to see who's going to the mid-acts cruise. I'm just interested. Because I know they're being deceived away. Deceived away from what? These things I'm going to tell you here. Okay? So, the magnificence of church, and we're to destroy that magnificence. Well, it's hard to destroy something you want. But we have to do that. And this Demetrius, I think his name was, his money was lost. Well, how many times do we go into a Christian bookstore and buy people stuff? If it's a good thing, fine, whatever, but we are supporting these religious worthless lying bookstores and we buy that stuff, but whatever. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 4:17, here's what the mid-actors miss, and this is because they don't want this. The pastors don't want this because it will destroy their ministry. A lot of these guys probably do it for volunteer, but if they don't, it will destroy their income. It destroyed ours for the church and the ministry we tried to do in Ohio. It was just going down the tubes. And if I have to preach what I have to preach, you're not going to hear your favorite mid-acts group, stunk on and then send me money for it. This is what happens. So, 1 Corinthians 4:17, this is a huge verse. Right after Paul says, follow me, in verse 16, be ye followers of me, not imitators like modern Bibles say, by the way. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus. In other words, 1 and 2 Timothy. Who is my beloved son. Paul was never married. This is not one of his kids. This is one of his children he got from his witnessing. And faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. as I teach everywhere in every church. I will tell you, from what I understand, from what I know so far, the mid-acters do not teach Paul's ways, because that's in Timothy. And you just flip over to Timothy, and, you know, remember, I'll say it again, remember my suicide series I preached a number of years ago? We enjoyed Paul's doctrine, we enjoyed all the joy of knowing what Christ has done, we loved hearing the fact that he took care of the law, so there is no law, so there is no sin. Well, that's a cool thing, knowing that our works are going to be judged. Now, well, that's exciting stuff. But then we get off this works thing. Well, boy, you get off this works stuff, and there goes your modesty, women. Well, these ladies in that picture that I saw, they're not very modest. Well, they're not showing a whole lot of skin. Paul says in verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 2, shamefacedness. So you wear clothes, so you cover everything. So the men wear pants, and we should be all wearing tents and all that stuff. You know, modesty is not just what you wear. Modesty is in how you behave, how you talk, how loud you are, where you're at. I mean, we don't want that. I mean, listen, I'll tell you right now, if you don't want Paul's walk and Paul's ways, you go under the mid-Acts crowd. They're in San Diego, they're in Washington, they're in Seattle, they're all over the big cities, because people want their happy religion backed up with Bible. Then they feel really great. They have a great time. They wear what they want. They do what they want. The ladies are running the churches that I've seen. The music is horrible, and their preaching is enjoyable, and it feeds their brain. It's really nice to be able to learn all this stuff about Paul's doctrine and this interruption. And so God, it's nice to learn about God's plan B, as they seem to call it. But they do not want to be reminded of his ways. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. I have written to a number of mid-actor guys to ask them, listen, I don't see you guys following Paul's teachings in Timothy and Titus. I think the music I've listened to is not very, it's not pleasing to God. And I've written this to mid-actors, and they said, oh, we'd love to talk to you. So I do. They never, ever have written me back. Not one person has written me back when I ask them the things that we're talking about right here today. 1 Corinthians 12:31. You know this verse. Paul shows unto you a more excellent way. We know that in Matthew, Matthew 22:16. If you haven't got that written down, write it down this time. I'll pause for 5 seconds for you to find a pencil, and then for you to write it down. That's another 5 seconds. Another 5 seconds because your pencil lead just broke. Okay, Matthew 20:16 is the word that says that God, you guys say, listen, we know you're teaching the way of God. Good to see the Foys there this morning. Better late than never, as we say. Okay, so the way of God, Jesus taught the way of God. But Paul, 1 Corinthians 12:31, a more excellent way, the more excellent way is Acts 18:26. Acts 18:26, write that one down. 18:26. It's the way of God more perfectly, more complete. There's more there now. There's nothing that the Jews heard at all. Okay. So they skip all that. The way of God more perfectly. It's a more excellent way. Way, W-A-Y. And that way is Paul's ways, and they're to be taught in every church. Okay? And the mid-actors that I've seen so far don't do that. And we know why. Okay, let's go to Acts 26 again. Not again, but to Acts again. Verse 20, chapter 26, verse 4. Paul mentions his manner of life. Okay, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, and you know, goes on to his manner of life. So Paul talks about his manner of life. What was our manner of life like when we were younger, our youth? How many older people, ahem, want to go back and relive their youth again? I mean, you got these old guys wearing ponytails. You've got, I've seen older men, not even old men, but even older men and middle-aged men wearing earrings. Come on, we never did that in our youth. The music you're listening to today is the music you listened to when you were in your youth. The way you dress, you want to dress like you did in your youth. You didn't get a chance to wear the styles because your parents wouldn't let you, and now you got a chance to wear styles. I mean, we go back and try to bring that stuff up again because we missed it. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, then we go to the key verse, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You know, he just gets done talking about modern Christians there. Chapters 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and 9. He just blows religion out of the water. It's a form of godliness, be denying the power thereof. Not the power in their personal ability. It's the power that Christ did to these people. Took away their sins. Washed their sins away. Separated their soul from the flesh. That's power. And these people don't get that because they don't get a true salvation. They don't have the Word of God. They don't have the Word of Truth. So if they don't have the Word of Truth, they don't have the gospel of their salvation. Okay? I don't hear any of these mid-actors talking about that. But here's the key. But thou, you know, you and I, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Oh, we love your doctrine, Paul. Fantastic stuff. Purpose. I think I know your purpose. Yeah, it's a good purpose. I'm great. Thank you. Faith. Yeah, it's his faith. It's the faith of Christ. Yeah, we can learn that. That's great stuff. Long-suffering. Nah, not very long-suffering. Charity and patience. Oh, manner of life. But I skipped the manner of life because we don't fully know his manner of life. We know it, and we talk about it all the time. My sermons for years have been interlaced, if not the main subject. Once I got past Paul's doctrine, I realized, listen, we need to change our manner of life. Why is that? Because the next event we have coming in our lives is either death or the rapture. Okay, whether we die or get raptured out or get taken away or the Gentile nation is cut off, call it what you want, the next thing we have is the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't see anything in here where God is going to judge our brain. I don't think he's going to care whether we know detailed about the history of the church, Acts. I mean, how hard is it to learn this stuff? I'd like to think that my website is simple and easy. And it's got a progression to it. That's what I don't like about it. If you get on that site long enough, you go back far enough, you can find some things I wish I hadn't taught. Maybe I'll knock it out of there one of these days until just this last year and go totally fresh. No, I don't have time. It's there. Okay, so this manner of life. Our judgment seat is going to be based on our walk. Our walk are based on Paul's ways. Paul's ways is not taught in any mid-Ex church that I know of, and they won't talk about it with me. But they'll teach you Paul's doctrine. And that's good doctrine. It's exciting stuff. So when they all gather together in the church, there's 30, 40, 50 people in this picture, and we go, oh, I wish we could have that kind of a thing. Well, you can. You know, forget about what you wear. Forget about where you go. Forget about your music. Forget about your stuff. Get over there. You can find them. They're all over the big cities, and the websites are full of them. Don't worry about the music. It's just Newton music is not an issue anyway. Yeah, it is, matter of fact. So jump in, you know, have a great time. But when the judgment seat comes along, don't think he's going to give you a doctrine test. He's going to give you a walk test, a ways test. Your works will be judged. So that's why I think the mid-actors are mid-actors. Mid-acts are mid-actors. They're acting. They love the Paul stuff. But they will not get into the ways of Paul. Okay? I mean, that's bottom line. And if they do, somebody correct me, but I don't see it. I've never seen that on any website yet. I've never got any response from anybody when I ask them about it. And I know why some of our people went to mid-Acts. They get tired of me preaching about Timothy and Titus. How do you know that? I'm not stupid. I'm a musician, that's bad enough, but I am not stupid. I know why people bag it. How many want to read Timothy where he says, 1 Timothy chapter 5. For ladies, you know, they should be, learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house on Facebook and all that stuff. Not only idle, but tattlers on Facebook also, and busybodies on Facebook, speaking and typing and texting things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, not rule the house, but guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Do you want to hear that? This is interesting. Go to a mid-act church, become a mid-actor, and you'll be happy again. Your family will be happy again. You'll enjoy things again. You'll enjoy music. You won't worry about what you look like when you go to work. You men won't worry about, you know, what you're doing, what you're spending your money on. And, you know, I mean, that's the mid-actors. They've got good doctrine on the websites, but they will not get you to do the right thing. Or at least try to do the right thing. Paul even himself says with his mind he served the law of God, not the law, but the law of God, meaning what God teaches. And with the flesh he serves the sin that's inside him. Well, so do we. Well, hey, if we're going to do that, let's just quit preaching about it and let's go to a mid-act group and become a mid-actor. Maybe you'll be a great mid-actor. Yeah, you probably could get the Oscar or the Henry or the Ralph. Whatever award you want to get, you can get it. Your wife will be happy. She can fellowship. You can all sing, not a problem. Even though the songs you're singing probably got some doctrinal mistakes in them. We don't care. It's just fun to sing. I like this song. Oh, I love the music, the beat. Oh, it's great stuff. That's a mid-actor. See, the mid-actors won't get this far, but they definitely won't go from this point on. Unless they think, you know, something's still just not right here. Well, here's why. Here's two more things here. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. They teach Paul. Well, this has turned into a bash, isn't it? Yeah. Well, they bother me. They take the Paul stuff. Satan will take anything that's right and twist it, even if it's just a little bit, to get people off track. I know poor Great Greens. He's coming and going because he's on a phone line and he just can't stay with us. He comes and goes. He's not just coming and going, folks. He's got an internet issue there. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's Paul. Why don't you teach that? Your judgment seat is going to be based on what Paul teaches. And it's his ways as well as his doctrine. That is your prep for the judgment seat of Christ. And if people get mad at me because I keep talking about this, well, when the judgment seat comes around, unless you're going to be really busy, I'm sure, you may or may not think of me. I'll think of me. I'll think of why didn't I do what I was preaching or whatever. We're all going to go through that. But it's not us being judged, it's the works we did. And the works are Paul's ways. Right? Amen, amen. So you got amen, 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 amen. Yeah, I guess you're right. I agree with you there. And Ben goes, yeah, gosh, he's just making it so hard for him. I get to be an adult. It's going to be so tough. Anyway. Okay, but see, that's not the thing. Here's the big thing. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's what the bottom dollar is here. What did I say? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Nobody wants the tribulations. We have enough trouble in this world, in this country, without being spit on because we're a Paul person and we're a serious Paul person. I mean, you could lose your job. Well, yeah, and we have, and you could, and I'm not saying you should, but where do you draw the line? What are they going to make you do at work? Because they do. What are they going to make you do that you're going to finally say, I'm sorry, but I've gone too far. I will not go past this. Have you got the guts to say that? Okay, so who wants persecution and tribulation? Listen, I know people, and you're on the website here, you get persecution and tribulation from your own family, from your own friends. Get on Facebook and type something sometime. And you'll get the response you don't want. It is lonely to be a Paul-following Christian who is not a mid-actor. Mid-actors are not lonely. People that follow Paul's ways or try, shamefaced, ladies who are shamefaced in their modesty, they are lonely people. I mean, not only what they wear, they can still be a beautiful woman. And I don't hate women. I just hate worldly women. I hate Christian women who are mouthy and loud and dress wrong and da-da-da-da. You know, the whole thing. And yet, the length of your hair and the length of your skirt, I don't play that game, but, you know, shamefaced is what shamefaced is. And I think most women have shamefaced crossed out in their Bible, even if they're a Paul's ways following person. That shamefaced, it's too hot, it's too expensive, I don't have any friends because of it, they laugh at me at work. Work, what are you doing at work? Oh, I know you have to, right. But, you know, you even have to wear the stuff they make you wear. But you're going to draw the line someday. You're going to. Okay, so anyway, the issue here is persecution and tribulation. Look at 2 Timothy 3:12. We know that verse. That's a classic. We can't forget. It's even a short one. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Living godly is not length of hair, length of skirt, you know, kind of thing. We know what godliness is. It's following what Christ is, following what God has presented and put forth and taught, and is following the risen Savior. Following the risen Savior means we follow Paul's words, what he teaches us to do, and we try to do that. That's living godly. Following Paul. Sure, it'll affect what you wear, and it'll affect how you talk, but the actual application of godly is following Paul. Okay? Some ladies that lose their hair, men lose their hair, you know, it isn't a curse from the Bible in the Old Testament days, and ladies, you know, we get cancer, we lose our hair, whatever, all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, are you living? Is God punishing? No, God's not punishing you. That's the sinful, cursed world we live in. It happens. But you can tell these lesbians and these dykes and all these people that are out there, they wear a man's cut. There's a difference between having not much hair because of your angel hair or your air hair, as I call it, or you losing your hair or whatever, as compared to getting a good old fashioned men's cut with a part, all that kind of stuff, and down the, you know, all that. There's a difference there. And you can see it in the woman. You go to a restaurant. Look at, I just get off on this thing. But if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, according to Paul's teaching, is the risen Jesus, which, by the way, is Christ Jesus, that's the risen one, you're going to suffer persecution. Not if you go to a mid-Acts church, you're not. We're just not going to. You're going to have a good time. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:10. 2 Corinthians 12:10. I got a couple more verses and we'll be done this morning. 2 Corinthians 12:10. And we all know we want a happy wife. And all you ladies want a man who will lead you your way. That was just one of those places I would have ducked behind the pulpit when I said that. You know. As soon as a man starts to lead the way the Bible says, according to Paul, with grace and all that stuff, but the right direction for his family, oh man, you have opened up a can of worms, and they're not a can of worms, they're a can of rattlesnakes. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Question, comment. Are you dressing modestly? Are you not going to the places you shouldn't go to? Are you going to the right places? Are you doing whatever your walk is because it's the right, it's for Christ's sake? Or, here we go, are you dressing modestly because you're fat? Well, I don't want to, you know, come on. I have, and I say this because most of the ladies that I know that were one time with us, who are no longer with us and are on Farcebook, they used to be fat, now they're skinnier, and now they're showing off more than they ever have before. It wasn't a, for Christ's sake, issue at all. It was because they were fat. F-A-T. You know? So whatever it is we do, and those are the ones I pick on, I guess. I you know, whatever. Maybe it's because those are the visual, obvious things. Are you doing it for Christ's sake? Because you are, if you are, there's going to be infirmities, reproaches. We'll talk about the necessities thing sometime. Persecutions and distresses because it's for Christ's sake. If you won't do it, you know. No, you know it's not. But do you take, okay, because the infirmities and the persecutions that come upon you, you don't like them, they get you down. Paul takes pleasure in them. Why? Because it's for Christ's sake. My mom, I know you know this, but I always had to mention this. My mom all the time used to say, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, Michael, why did you do that, you know? Well, it wasn't for Christ's sake, Mom. Why are you telling me that, you know? So, you know, if what you're wearing and where you're going and what you're doing and da-da-da-da, the list goes on and on, your haircuts, your dresses, your skirts, your blouses, your pants for the guys, places you go, the things you laugh at, if whatever you're trying to do, that would be Paul's ways, especially according to Titus chapter 2, make sure you're doing it for Christ's sake. If you're just doing it for you, then you're going to be miserable, you're going to hate it, and you're going to finally, eventually give in. I guarantee it. I've seen it. I'm seeing it. We always got to check ourselves on that thing. Look at Romans 8:35. Let's see what that one says. Romans 8:35. This is why mid-actors are mid-actors. They're faking it. Romans 8:35. What does that one say? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Well, it doesn't separate us from the love of Christ, but it sure separates us from the ways of Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. No, we're doing it for ourselves, that way we don't last very long at it. We are not more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Well, that's true. But it sure seems to separate our love for Him. Because Romans chapter 12 says, it's your reasonable service is to make that body, present your body a living sacrifice. What does that mean? You do what God's ways are. There's your sacrifice is how you handle this body of yours, acceptable under God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm no better at this than anybody else. I mean, I'm not Mr. Joe Walking Christian here. I mean, we all got our issues. We know our mind, but we know what sin is in us, and we know what we follow. We just know that. Acts 13, two more verses. Acts 13, 50. Go to Acts 13, 50. Well, yeah, we know that verse. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul. This is why when a man steps up to the plate and gets a hold of his Bible, starts preaching Paul's ways, his honorable and devout women and daughters and sons rise up against him. And then lastly, last verse here, I think. Let me check my notes here. Yep, last verse. Galatians 6:12. Galatians 6:12. Now, I've always just kind of iffed on this verse a little bit, but now it's clicking with me. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, They wanna look right. You know, they want their flesh, they want to be that Christian, you know, kind of a thing. They constrain you to be circumcised. Just follow the law. Why? Why do they want you to put on some pants? Why do they want you to get that job? Why do they want you men to step aside and let the women run the ship? Why do they want those kids to go out there and listen to that music to come to church? Why do they want that to happen? Why do they want you to come to their happy church, those mid-actors? Why? Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Now, yes, you'll be talking about Jews here, because those are the circumcised crowd, but we also know that the teachings to the in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are teachings to the Jews. So an old typology here, somebody who's trying to follow the Gospels or stay away from Paul's ways, which is the mid-actor group, they don't want you to clean up your music. They don't want you to come to church in that skirt. They don't want you to wear your skirt even at home. They don't want you to wear your skirt even in the stores and everything. They don't want you to quit doing this. They don't want you men to try to get a hold of this Bible and get things right. They don't want you to do that. Why? Because if they do, if you do that, they're going to feel awkward about the whole thing, and they don't want you to come to their church and get them to do that. We are just as dangerous as a Paul-following ways Christian as somebody of the King James Bible going to an NIV church, because they don't want that King James Bible in there. Why don't they want that King James Bible in there? Because it'll shut them up. That's the Word of God. That's the final authority. Whether you walk it or not, that Bible is the final authority. And they don't want to have that put on them, so get rid of you. Why don't they want you to follow the ways of Christ? Because it'll make them feel guilty and it'll bring persecution to them if they change. So they don't want you to do it. But chances are you're not doing it for Christ's sake anyway, so it doesn't make them mad. The lost world out there has better respect for your beliefs than you think they do. They may not understand it. I guarantee they don't understand it. They won't believe it. They'll probably think you're nuts for it, but they'll let you. However, I realize it's getting more and more to where they won't let you. But are you standing up for it? If you're doing it for Christ's sake, and I know lots of times our hands are tied. We do what we have to do in this age of grace and this age of curse. But we strive to do something for Christ's sake. If it's just in the public and your private life is doofusy, you know, which I'm sure it is because it's just us and God and we know God's grace, we're probably mid-actors in our private life and Paul-following Christians in the public life. But hey, that's a start. That's hard enough. And then you say to yourself some things you got to stop for yourself, and then there's a joy there too. It's a battle. It's a war. And the mid-actors don't want to fight it. If you don't want to fight it, get on the web, get on Pal Talk, and you can find probably some really good historical Israel, Jewish, Gentile, Paul, ages to come, what it's going to be like in the future. You can find all that good stuff. But nobody's going to bug you about your role as a father, role as a husband, role as a wife, role as a mother. Nobody's going to preach to the kids. They don't want to make them mad, that's for sure. Turn their music. Let them have their music back. Let them have those CDs back, and they'll go with you to church. That's all you want. You want to have a happy time at church. You want to go to happy, happy church. Doesn't matter what denomination is, you know. We are so not wanting to suffer anymore. We're just not. Guilty on this end, too. Sometimes your hands are tied. You can't tell somebody that you're hurting this guy because you're not doing... Sometimes you just can't do it. We're living in a day where Paul's teachings of the goodness of God are refused by just about everybody, and because we see the signs of the tribulation, we're not looking to signs, but we're kind of dumb if you don't realize a lot of this stuff is just setting up for the Antichrist, so the tribulation must be pretty soon. Everything's fleshy, you know, the services and the music, da-da-da-da. You know where this is going. So we're not in the tribulation yet, or the Laodicean church age yet, like we said last week, but we're like about one of the last of the hairs on the end of the tail. Can't be much longer. So if your judgment seat of Christ is coming up next, and it's going to be based on your ways, not what you says. That doesn't make sense, but it was an attempt to be at rhyming anyway. There you go, folks. There's your sermon for this morning.